This is BBC Radio 4, now the concluding part of our classic serial, set in London and rural Ireland during World War II.
The story so far.
Hello, Mrs. Rodney?
Yes?
It's Harris. Listen, I would like to come and see you, actually, have a word. There is something really quite important to talk about. How about...
What do you mean? What do you mean, important?
Your friend Robert's been playing the fool. As you know, he's at the War Office. That's probably all you do know, but I know a little more than that. He's working for the enemy. And what I'm saying is this, what finally happens to him rather depends on me. Or when I say it rather depends on me, I mean it rather depends on you. Do you see?
Mr. Morris left all his estate to your son, Roderick. There is an existing trust for his widow, of course, but apart from that, the house in Ireland, land and capital, go to your son. This is a copy of the will. As he's still under 21, you are, of course, his guardian.
What I don't like is you going away at all.
I'd no idea you were going to feel like this, because what does it amount to? Simply a business journey. Roderick's Mount Morris affairs. Somebody's got to get over there. He can't. I must.
And what will you do while you're away? Will you keep loving me?
I'll keep loving you.
The Heat of the Day, from a novel by Elizabeth Bowen, based on the screenplay by Harold Pinter. Episode 2. Exterior, Mount Morris, Ireland, 7 p.m. The house is large. A girl stands on the steps. A pony and trap comes down the drive and stops. Donovan, the butler, comes forward.
Let me help you down, ma'am. This is Mary, my daughter. She'll take your cases.
Interior, Mount Morris Library. A large, dark picture. White cards stuck around the inside frame. Stella walks forward and peers at the cards.
Locks and hinges, my method of oiling. Live mice caught in traps to be drowned, not dropped in kitchen fire, in case of blocked gutters, in case of parachutists, in case of my death.
Stella turns away. A fire blazing in a distant marble fireplace. She looks out of the window. Donovan comes into the room with an oil lamp. He turns the wick high. The globe wells up with yellow light. Mary Donovan enters with another lamp. The two globes are reflected in the window panes.
This has been a bare sort of time for us, ma'am, with neither master, and it's a poor welcome for you, I fear, but indeed, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We killed a little chicken for your supper.
Oh, how nice.
Will you see your room? Are the candles, Mary?
There are two candles above.
Exterior, Mount Morris, 10 p.m. River flowing, moonlight reflected in rows of windows. Stella's figure tiny in an upper window. Stella's bedroom. 7 a.m. She draws the curtains swiftly. Looks out. A brilliant morning. Swans on the river.
They'll be here from the surveyors in about a half an hour, ma'am.
Oh, right. Donovan, is there a boat? My son specially wants to know if there's a boat.
He wants to know, is there a boat at present?
Is there a boat at all?
That would be any class of a boat.
Simply a boat?
Well, there was a flatboat, and she used to hold not badly till the master sank her. He had no great satisfaction out of her at the best of times, and he said to us, you were not to know these times what might happen presently. So he had the boys out one morning, loading rock into her until she went down. Well, there she goes, he said, the poor man. standing between myself and the gentleman on the bank. Oh, she should be there in the river yet. Will we raise her and see if she's not too much rotted?
If that could be done, it could do no harm.
It might be that all we'd have to do would be give her a lick of pitch. Be a pity to disappoint him. So is the master a boatman?
No, not so much. I must show you his photograph.
Ah, his picture. Yeah, but wasn't it queer them not letting him over to us himself? I never heard of the army impeding a gentleman like that. However, I should imagine his heart's in it, and the war should be a great interest in that case. Who knows, but he might be coming out of it a general.
No, I'm afraid he's too young for that.
Yet by every appearance, this should be a long, ambitious war. Are you writing a letter to the master?
Indeed I am. When was the boat sunk?
The last time Mr. Harrison was here.
Mr. Harrison?
Oh, some name of that sort. He came from over. Whether he was a mister or a captain, we never made out. In any event, he was a distraction for the master. The two of them would be gabbing up to any hour in the night.
What did he look like?
Well, he had a narrow sort of look about him. Added to which, he had a sort of discord between his two eyes.
Exterior, river, morning. Stella standing by the flowing river, looking into it.
Mrs. Rodney! Up!
Stella looks up. Donovan is standing on a parapet. His daughter Mary stands next to him. He shapes both his hands into a megaphone.
Montgomery's through! Montgomery's through! Victory!
Montgomery?
A terrible victory. Victory in a day. Oh, come up with your mum. The day's famous.
Euston Station, 8 p.m. Stella gets off the train, walks along the platform. Through surging crowds, she sees Robert stock still under a light, looking. She goes on. The crowd. She looks for Robert. He's gone. Suddenly, he is at her side, kissing her, taking her case.
What a needle in a bundle of hay. Let's get out of this.
Why this way?
I have a car with a driver.
Oh, wonderful.
One snag. Ernestine's in it.
Oh, no, why?
She's up for the day. We're just dropping her off at a friend. That's all. 5 minutes. You love me.
Why?
Then nothing matters.
Euston Station, forecourt. Robert shines torch on number plates. He bangs on a window. A driver jumps out, opens door. They get in. The car is capacious. Jump seats in the back. A glass partition.
Mrs. Rodney, you must be dead.
Not quite.
How was the Emerald Isle? Plenty of eggs and bacon?
It was rather strange. They had no blackout.
Did they actually know there's a war on?
Yes, because they know they're not in it.
Robert, the driver does know we're going to Earl's Court, I take it.
Of course.
You told him?
I told him.
I didn't hear you tell him. You seemed so fast at Euston Station. How... Oh, God!
Have you lost something?
I hope to heaven I haven't. I thought you were asleep.
So did I. What were you doing? Thinking?
No, just...
Ugh, must be somewhere. I'm sure I put it in my handbag this morning. If I didn't, I should be shot. Ah! Got it. Scoundrel. Thank heaven for that.
Thinking what?
What?
I was asking Stella what she was thinking.
I'm so glad you found it.
Why should she tell you? I really don't know why she's not allowed to think in peace. Ask no questions and you'll be told no lies. Where are we? Has anybody any idea? Hey, it's Earl's Court, driver.
He knows.
What do you think she lost?
Hmm?
And then found in her handbag?
Yeah, I haven't the foggiest idea.
Whatever it was, what a relief she found it. You've never told me...
What?
You've never told me what she was like when she was young.
Robert kisses Stella. She's tense. He withdraws. Regards her. As the car moves through the traffic, all cars with dimmed lights, it is only the occasional traffic light that illumines their faces.
I'm sorry, I can't... just be alone with you all at once. It was a shock seeing you at Euston. It's a shock. I'm just thrown. I'll be all right. Let me be.
I know you've been all by yourself in that house, but all the same, I feel jealous, as though somehow you've been with some sort of enemy of mine, or rival. So far, the best thing has been touching your coat. I know where I am with your coat. It's just the same.
You have no enemy anywhere in me.
Why should you have to say that?
My darling, who could like to feel less welcome than her own coat?
But I want to welcome you. Totally. You haven't let me.
Can you give me a cigarette?
He gives her a cigarette, lights a match. The match goes out. He strikes another one, lights her cigarette. And the car enters a dark section of the street.
2 months ago, nearly 2 months ago, somebody came to me with a story about you. They said you were passing information to the enemy.
I what?
They said you were passing information to the enemy. I didn't know what to think.
What an extraordinary woman you are.
Why, what would an ordinary woman have thought? What would an ordinary woman have done?
Well, I don't know. Really, what did you do?
Nothing. It's not true, is it?
2 months ago? 2 months? Well, there's certainly nothing like thinking a thing over. Or did it happen to simply slip your mind until tonight? Why didn't you just come and ask me then? What would have been wrong with that? Or was that too simple? Well, that's what beats me. Who was this?
Harrison.
Who's that? Harrison who?
No, just Harrison, the man I met at the funeral.
And the fewer funerals you go to, the better, I should say. Of course, yes, I remember you spoke of him, but... Well, I thought you said he was such a bore. He sounds far from a bore
but
to me.
It isn't true, is it?
It can't be true that you're asking me the question. What do you want me to say? There's nothing to say. The whole thing's so completely unreal to me. I can't believe it isn't as unreal to you. It must be.
Yes, it is. But I...
What you're asking me isn't the point. It's immaterial. Crazy. It's out of a thriller. Am I passing information to the enemy? No, of course not. How could I be? Why should I? What do you take me for? What do you take me for? What do I take you for? How well you've acted with me for the last 2 months. How could you? I ask you again, why didn't you come to me 2 months ago and tell me then?
He said it would be dangerous to you to tell you.
What he says then cuts a good deal of ice with you. In fact, you acted on the assumption that it was true.
I didn't act. I didn't know what to do. I loved you.
How strange that word sounds.
Darling. For God's sake, this is breaking my heart.
Is it? Am I? Or are you just saying so? How do you expect me to know what's true? You may have had another lover all this time, for all I know. I'm not sure I wouldn't have preferred that. This is so... So, you've been watching me for 2 months? You're 2 months gone with this and I didn't see it? I must be going blind.
I loved you.
No. It's the appearance of love you keep up so beautifully.
No. No. Well, I suppose I owe you an apology.
What? Oh. Yes, I suppose you do.
I'm shocked too, you know. Until I heard my own words and heard you hear them, I really had no idea how horrible. Forgive me. Robert?
Yes?
Say something.
You don't seem to have shown any great patriotic fervor.
No.
What is it?
I think I'm weak with hunger.
Yes. That's what it probably is. We'll get a sandwich somewhere.
Will we? Do you want to?
Oh, yes. I've had quite a day, too, as days go. I need a drink. We're both a bit lightheaded. A drink will sober us down.
Interior. Hotel lounge. 9 p.m. Robert and Stella at a table with drinks and sandwiches.
Must have been strange. Island?
Yes. It was the light as much as anything else. Dublin was a blaze of light as the ship came in. It was dazzling, frightening. And at the house there were oil lamps in the window, you know, naked windows. It was strange. Yes. One night I took a lamp and went into the drawing room. I walked up and down it, and I imagined Roderick's wife in it one day. Well, why not, after all?
Stella.
Yes.
Talking of that, why shouldn't we marry?
You and me?
Yes. Why not?
Well, we've got in the way of not marrying, I suppose.
Yes, but why not? Why not? You know, it's really quite simple. The reason that I want to marry you is that I want to marry you. I made up my mind when you were in Ireland. The fact is, I can't bear you out of my sight.
But I hardly ever am.
I'm not so sure as I used to be about that.
You think I run into trouble?
I think you do a bit, yes.
You think I need looking after?
Your friend What's-His-Name must have thought so.
Why do you call him What's-His-Name? His name's Harrison. It's an easy name to remember.
Harrison. But what if I need looking after, too? Do you think that perhaps you and I have never quite been our ages?
I thought it had been all perfect.
Yes, it all seemed perfect. But there must have been a catch in it somewhere. We must have been about due to take this knock. There's only one solution. Marry me. It's not such a new idea. It's not such a wild idea.
You've made it sound wild. You're contradicting yourself. First you say you made up your mind when I was in Ireland. Then you say you feel forced to ask me because of what I said in the car. Because it suddenly seems necessary for you to keep me under your eye. Also, I understand all this, that I owe some balm to your offended honour. Well, then, that's how you make it sound. That the very least I can do is marry you. To prove to you I'm convinced that anything more I might possibly hear about you can't be true. So any reasons I may have of my own to hesitate, go by the board. Don't you see?
Look, I was clear enough. Let's get this straight. The fact that I want to marry you has nothing to do with what you said in the car. If Ernie hadn't been sitting waiting, I'd have asked you the moment I saw you on the platform. I'm not saying that what happened later didn't have an effect on me. Of course it did. It made me more certain it was time we married. The idea of anyone who likes coming along and frightening you is appalling. Yes, I was hurt too. How could I hide that? How could I not be? But more to the point, for a moment, the whole of our love seemed futile if I couldn't keep you from that fantastic thing.
Yes, it was fantastic.
But you were frightened.
Yes.
Yes. For me. But also of me, a little.
It was simply...
Do you love me?
We're keeping the waiter waiting. Not just anybody can frighten me, you know. I wish you'd find out who Harrison is.
Is he anybody?
Interior. Stella's flat, 5 p.m. Stella is opening a letter.
Dearest Mother, it was extraordinary how much about Mount Morris you managed to notice. As you may guess, I've not stopped thinking
about it ever since. It was almost as if I'd really been there. Exactly how many acres did you say are to go under tillage this year? Also, I forgot to ask you if there is a gun room, and if so, what approximately would be its contents? Or, under present regulations, are there none? I went to visit Cousin Nettie while you were away. I wanted her to know that she should consider Mount Morris as much hers as mine. I found her very cheerful, and she asked to be remembered to you. She did tell me one extraordinary thing about my father, which I do want to ask you all about as soon as possible.
Hello?
Darling, it's me. I'm sorry. Damn it, I can't make tonight. I have to go down to Home Dean. A family convocation. Red alert. My mother's had an offer for the house. Thrown them completely. I have to go. What will you do?
Oh, I'll have a quiet night.
I'll ring you tomorrow.
Exterior, Regent Street, 8 p.m. Harrison walking with Stella. They wear raincoats. He takes her elbow as they cross into a side street.
Here we are. This is it. Down these steps. Careful.
They go down into a basement. A dim sign on the door. Cafe open. They go in. It's a bar grill. People seated along the counter. There are also tables. Harrison takes Stella to a table for two.
Oh, I'm thirsty. I'd love a lager.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Two lagers, please. And what about food? See anything you like? Cold custard and salad, fish. Oh, no, wait, I'll tell you what. Let's see if they can do something different. After all, this is an occasion. For me, anyway.
He goes to the bar and talks to the manageress. The waitress brings the lagers to the table.
Just the job. Mission accomplished.
What is it?
A secret.
I'm not very hungry.
Well, no worry. It's just very nice for me to be your escort. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mind you, I still have to scold you, I'm afraid.
Oh? Why?
You've done what I told you not to do.
What's that?
You've been naughty.
Really?
Yes, really. Also, rash. One of these days you'll be getting some of us into trouble. Don't look blank. You know very well what you've done. You tipped him off, didn't you? Come on, admit it. I mean, if I've got it wrong, you can always tell me to go to hell. Why don't you tell me to go to hell?
Perhaps you are growing on me.
You know, you're not as bright as I thought.
Oh?
No. When I told you at the very beginning that I should know if you tipped him off, you really should have believed me. You see, I not only know that you have, but I can tell you when. I can tell you the very day, or rather the very night.
Two lobster salad.
Oh, lovely. That was my secret. My innocent secret.
There's no such thing as an innocent secret.
Isn't there? But you like lobster, I hope.
Oh, yes. I like it very much.
Oh, I'm glad. It looks fresh, doesn't it?
It does. Look fresh. What makes you think you can tell me the day or the night?
Because from the morning after, he altered his course. Behaved, in fact, exactly and to the letter the way I told you he would behave the moment he knew there was someone on his tracks. That's what I said he'd do, and that's what he's done. So I know you told him.
When?
The night you got back from Ireland.
Well...
Stella takes out her powder compact, begins to powder her nose, looks in the mirror. A girl comes into the cafe. She sits at the bar, suddenly sees Harrison, stares at him, half smiles. It is Louis, the girl who tried to pick up Harrison in Regent's Park. Stella watches her in the mirror.
Someone's recognized you.
What?
A friend of yours.
Don't be silly.
At the bar.
Harrison looks round. Louis smiles at him. He turns back to the table. A dog wanders among the tables, leash trailing.
What you've done is this. You've put us all on the spot. You see, thanks to you, our friend has pretty well dished himself. The only case for leaving him loose was the chance he would lead us onto something bigger. Now that's out. So the case for leaving him loose falls down. That's what it's up to me to report.
So will you?
I've got myself to think of too, you know. And the country.
So far, who besides you knows this?
Only I know. It still has to go up there.
And you wouldn't be telling me this if it had gone up. Is that right?
The dog nuzzles Stella's leg. Harrison kicks at it.
Scram!
It's not doing any harm.
It's bothering you.
It won't bite. I wish it would. What were you saying?
You know what we were saying.
I know what you were about to say, yes. That at last, now it really is up to me, that I either buy out Robert for a bit longer or...
Harrison claps his hand down on hers sharply.
Excuse me, I'm just after my dog. Come along, come on, Spot, bad boy. Bothering people. Hello, I haven't seen you in the park for ages.
Harrison picks up the leash and hands it to her.
I'm never there.
Well, you must have been there once. I saw you there. Fancy seeing you here. Excuse me interrupting. It's on account of Spot. Oh, bad boy.
You're not interrupting. Why is your dog called Spot when he hasn't any?
Oh, he's my friend's dog, actually. I was going to meet her in this cafe, but I think I've come to the wrong place. I mean, wrong cafe.
Well, you better buzz off home and take your dog.
He's taken quite a fancy to you, hasn't he? They always say a dog knows.
Why don't you sit down?
Oh, for a minute.
I
don't think I should, really. For one thing, you were talking.
Oh, we were only deciding something.
My friend's not here. I wish I knew where we were.
I've no idea where we are. Where are we? Do tell me your name. I'm Mrs. Rodney.
I'm Mrs. Lewis.
Are you?
Yes. I've got a husband in India. Well, somewhere like that. To think of you remembering me.
You're not old friends, then?
Oh, no, we just fell into conversation at a band concert in the park, didn't we, weeks ago?
Are you off your head? Do you think we've got all night?
Yes, I thought we had.
How can you talk to her like that? How can you go out with him? Why does he talk to you like that? People to be friendly, that's what the war's for, isn't it?
Stella picks up Louis' gloves from the floor and gives them to her.
I'm sorry, you mustn't mind him. You mustn't blame him. It's been my fault. He's in trouble too. This evening was to have been a celebration, the first of many more evenings. It may still be the first of many more evenings, but what they'll be worth, I don't know.
Oh, I'll be off. Good night.
Say good night to him.
I don't know his name.
Harrison. You must congratulate me before you go. I've good news, I think.
You have?
Yes. A friend is out of danger.
Harrison's hand moves abruptly to his eye. The table jolts. He rubs his eye, puts his cigarette out in the ashtray.
Why don't you two both go along together? Didn't you hear what I said? You two had better both be getting along.
But...
What?
But we don't know where we are.
Turn right, first left, and you're in Regent Street.
I don't understand. What's been decided? I thought we... What have you decided? What are you going to do?
Pay the bill.
Interior, Holmdene, lounge, 9 p.m. Mrs. Kellaway and Ernestine sitting, Robert standing, pacing about, sometimes coming to rest on the hearth rug.
Let's sum up. A, we don't know if we want to sell Holmdene. B, if we do, how much more than the offer do we hope to get? C, again, if we do sell, where are you both to go?
I'm afraid it's not so simple as that.
Woodikins feels there must be something behind the offer.
What's behind the offer is that someone wants to buy the house.
Who can want to buy a house they haven't seen?
How do you know they haven't seen it?
Well, no one has been to the door.
You can see the house from a little way down the drive.
We do not care for people coming down the drive.
Why can't they come to the door and openly ring the bell? Creeping and spying about.
No one is going to rush us. We did not ask these people to buy the house.
But we left for sale on the agent's books for years.
Nevertheless, this is our home.
In that case, we turn them down.
But it's too large.
In that case, we jack them up.
I'm afraid it's not so simple as that.
You talk, Robert, as though this was just a business transaction.
It's always been too large and too expensive. Your father made a mistake, one of many.
Could you actually be happy in something smaller?
It's not a question of happiness. It's a question of the future. That is for you and Ernestine. I've had my life and I hope I've done my best. But you must not expect me to be with you for long.
Mushikins, don't say such dreadful things.
You talk as though you expected not to die. We shall all...
Oh, it'll be for me. Yes? Yes, of course. 9:30. But can we all get in? Oh, yes, I'm all for it. Yes. Yes, all hands on deck. Oh, it has been a day. One thing after another.
Ernestine has not been able to take her hat off.
Well, ought we to sell or not?
Do we want to?
One can't always be thinking of what one wants.
I have never thought of what I wanted. Don't forget that this house is to be left to you both jointly. If you do not care for that, you had better say so.
But of course we care. How can I ever forget this is my home?
How can I?
And so, what is your advice?
Sell.
Robert does not remember anything about his life.
There, you are quite wrong, Muttikins.
He talks like a man.
Who's there?
Me, Uncle Robert.
Anne!
Oh, Auntie Annie, please.
Both of you ought to be sound asleep.
Peter is.
Granny doesn't like people creeping about in the middle of the night.
I know, but...
Don't say I know to Granny.
Robert scoops Anne up and sits her on the arm of the chair in which he sits.
Robert, you encourage her.
No, she encourages me. I think you might have cooked up something cleverer. Why couldn't you be walking in your sleep?
Because I'm awake. Can you stay here tonight?
No. Got anything to tell me?
I was top at mental arithmetic.
Yes, you can tell Uncle Robert all about that next time.
No, really, Ernie.
Well then, a moment. Only a moment, mind.
How many moments are there? How long compared to a minute is a moment?
Well, that depends.
Robert jumps and falls off the chair.
The telephone is never for anybody but Ernestine. What is the matter, Robert? Are you expecting a call?
If it's for you, do answer it.
Knocking the child off the chair. Oh, need we have all that ringing. Will someone answer it?
I will.
Anne, no. No, I'll answer it.
Is it for Robert?
Does anyone know you're here?
If it's for me, say I'm on my way back to London, will you?
But you're here.
There. You see, if it should turn out to be important, I shall always blame myself. Now, Anne, to bed.
Anne flings her arms around Robert. He stoops, presses her cheek to his.
Are you going to London?
Yes.
You're always going away, always.
You're giving me a crick in my back. You must grow taller.
Just one more.
Interior. Stella's flat. Bedroom. 2 a.m. Light from the electric fire. Stella is sitting up in bed. Robert is at the foot of the bed. They're both naked.
And if I am? If that is what I am doing? Because it has been that all the time.
Why?
Oh, we should have to try to understand each other all over again. It's too late now.
Too late in the night?
Too late.
Why are you against this country?
Country?
Yes.
There are no countries. Nothing but names. What sort of country do you think exists outside this room? Exhausted shadows dragging themselves to fight. How long can they drag the fight out? We've come out on the far side of that.
We?
We. Who are ready for the next thing.
What is it? What is the next thing?
The next thing is something on an altogether different scale. It's sight in action. When I act, I see. Do you think I'm a traitor? All that language is dead currency. It means nothing. What it once meant is gone. Are you against me?
You're the one who's against. But not this country, you say. Then what are you against?
The racket.
What racket?
Freedom. Freedom to be what? Muddled? Mediocre? Damned? Look at your free people. Mice let loose in the middle of the Sahara. It's insupportable. Tell a man he's free. You know what that does to him? It sends him scuttling back into the womb. Look at it. Look at your mass of free suckers. Look at your democracy. Kidded along from the cradle to the grave. Do you think there's a single man of mind who doesn't know he only begins where his freedom stops?
Stella does not answer. She turns where she lies, not raising herself on the pillows, and holds him with her eyes,
freedom is just a slave's yammer. One in a thousand may have what it takes to be free. If so, he has what it takes to be something better, and he knows it. Who would want to be free when he could be strong? We must be strong. There must be law.
But you break the law.
No. Not the real law. Not the true law.
He stands, walks silently to the window, pulls the curtains. Moonlight. His silhouette at the window. He stands still.
Come back.
He turns, goes back to the bed, sits. Not touching.
Do you feel I've been apart from you in this? I haven't. There's been you and me and everything I've done.
Why didn't you talk to me?
I couldn't involve you. How could I? And how was I to tell you? How?
You could have just let me know.
Sometimes I thought I had. There were times it seemed impossible you didn't know. I found myself waiting for you to speak. When you didn't, I thought you had decided silence was better, and I thought, yes, silence is better. But I didn't know that you didn't know until you asked me.
Why did you? What made you have to? Such ideas to have? Just why?
I didn't choose them. They marked me out. They're not mine, I'm theirs. Haven't I a right to my own side?
He leans towards her and takes her hand.
It's enough to have been in action once on the wrong side. You don't know the disgust of Dunkirk, an army of freedom queuing up to be taken off by pleasure boats. That was the end of that war. What was left? The scum, the Dunkirk wounded.
I never knew you before then. Before you were wounded.
I was born wounded. My father's son. Dunkirk was waiting there in us. What a race. A class without a middle. A race without a country. Never earthed in. Thousands and thousands of us breeding and breeding. Breeding what?
Were you never frightened to do what you were doing?
The opposite. It undid fear. It bred my father out of me. It gave me a new heredity. I was living. I was under orders.
So you're with the enemy?
They're facing us with what has got to be the conclusion. They may not last, but it will.
It's not just that they're the enemy, but they're horrible. They're unthinkable. Grotesque.
In birth, anything is grotesque. But they've started something. You may not like it, but it's the beginning of a new world.
Roderick may be killed. Roderick may be killed. I've not been in what you've done. The more I understand it, the more I hate it. I hate it.
Stella stands, puts on a gown and goes out of the bedroom into the sitting room. Darkness. She switches on a lamp. She walks to the mantelpiece. She looks at Robert's photograph. She turns the photograph to the wall. She trembles, holds on to the shelf, tries to call Robert but has no voice. The bedroom door opens. Robert in his dressing gown.
Yes?
She looks at him.
You called me.
They fall into each other's arms. He holds her to him. The photograph of Robert falls off the mantel shelf onto the floor.
I should never have let you come here. This will be the first place...
Last night, at Home Dean, I was in terror of never seeing you again. I knew I was in danger, but I'd never pictured arrest before. I suddenly did. What a place to be taken in. theirs to be the last faces I saw. My mother had been waiting for this. She wished it. It would be she who had got me into this trap so that I should never see you again. It never suited her that I should be a man.
He lights a cigarette, sits on the sofa.
I wonder how they got onto me. I wonder what I did, what I didn't think of. I was so careful. It had become second nature.
If I'd slept with Harrison, could he have saved you?
What, did he say so? Naturally he would. You didn't try?
I thought I would last night, but he sent me home.
You left it pretty late.
I left it late, yes.
He sounds crazy. What a chance to take. What was to stop you turning him in? It would have been the end of him.
It would have been the end of you, too.
She takes a cigarette. He lights it.
So what are you, then? A revolutionary? No, a counter-revolutionary? What are you exactly? You know, for somebody doing something so definite, you talk so vaguely. Wildness and images. It's as though you haven't formulated everything in your mind.
I've never talked about it before.
Not even to your friends?
You think we meet to swap ideas?
Something's missing. You're out for the enemy to win because you think they have something. What?
They have something. This war's just so much bloody quibbling about a thing that's pre-decided. Either side's winning would stop the war. Only their side's winning would stop the quibbling. I want order. I want shape. I want discipline. I want the cackle cut. What have I still not said?
Oh, wish we could sleep.
I must dress.
Going? But there might be someone outside the door.
Yes. There has been a step.
When? I didn't hear. If it had been his step, I should have heard it. I should have known it before I heard it.
She goes towards the window.
Don't touch the curtain.
I want to. I want to say, yes, he's here. We're here together. He's with me. I love him.
Robert goes into the bedroom and begins to dress. They speak through the open door.
I could let you out the back.
If there's somebody at the front, there'll be someone at the back.
That could depend on whether there's somebody at the front is Harrison or not.
Why?
He's in love. He could be watching the house for his own reasons. People torment themselves.
He's still what he is.
You were mad to come here.
Robert comes out of the bedroom, dressed, goes to her.
I had to hold you in my arms. Once more. And I had to tell you. I came here to tell you, but I had to hold you in my arms first. I had to love you first and then tell you. I wonder, would we ever have spoken if we hadn't known this was goodbye?
This is goodbye.
Isn't there a way out onto the roof?
Yes. Yes. The skylight, you know it. There could be somebody there. There could be somebody on the roof.
There's one great thing about a roof. There's one sure way off it.
It's steep. Wish you hadn't got your stiff knee.
I wish I hadn't got my stiff knee. We've never danced, have we? I'll go by the roof. Come on.
Landing, 2:30 a.m. The ladder to the skylight is down. Robert goes up it, pushes the skylight. It opens. He secures it. He comes down the ladder, kisses her.
Take care of yourself. Now, turn off the light, go back into the flat, and shut the door.
Good night.
Exterior, the house, 2:35 a.m. A moving figure on the roof. Harrison below shifts his position. The figure steps from the roof. Robert spread-eagled on pavement. Still. Exterior. Small country station, 2 p.m. Stella steps off the train. Roderick is there to meet her. They leave the station and walk along an asphalt path towards wasteland.
I'm so glad you came, Mother. I wondered if you would. It's very good of you.
Why? Because Robert's dead?
Perhaps it is better for you. Having something to do. I'd been wondering what you'd rather I did. Should I get compassionate leave? Come up to London?
Darling Roderick, I don't think it would be granted under the circumstances.
I would say that you and Robert were engaged, because you easily could have been.
Where shall we go?
How would it be if we simply went to the cafe? It isn't exactly tea yet, but we've been there so often that I don't suppose they'd mind us just sitting down.
No, let's walk first. Roderick, I said I would come today because you wanted me to tell you about your father.
Yes. Still, I don't think we need to talk about him today.
Just as you like. I don't mind what I talk about. If anything, I should like to tell you the story now.
Mother, anything you like. But today, I'd rather not talk about my father. He really is dead. After all, it was Cousin Francis who's given me my house. And with you, I can only connect Robert.
Mm.
Cousin Nettie bringing up my father like that may have just shown how determined she was to be mad.
Very well, then, let's leave that story.
Wisteria Lodge is really the only place for anybody knowing so much that doesn't matter. It was stupid of me to mix myself up with that. I've kicked myself for writing to you like that. How could I know what was just going to happen? Mother.
Yes?
Do you really not mind what we talk about?
No.
What was Robert doing on the roof?
That seemed to be his best way out of my flat. He was expecting to be arrested at any minute.
Why? Could he have been arrested?
Yes. He would have been arrested as a traitor.
But was he going to be?
I don't actually know. That's what he thought.
Why should they arrest him as a traitor?
Because it had all been proved.
In a way, I rather wish I'd known. Because I've never known anybody like that. He was on the other side in the war.
Yes.
He never did seem to be living anywhere very particular. You don't think if you had married him, it would have given him more of a stake in the country? God, I suppose everything I try to say must sound ridiculous. No, it must be ridiculous. I'm so sorry, Mother. Perhaps I should not have asked.
I'm glad you asked. You're the only person I can tell.
Oh, Mother. Today I would say anything to comfort you. As it is, I expect you know what is best for yourself.
I expect I do. I know I ought to. I must.
Interior, Stella's bedroom, 2 a.m. Stella unable to sleep. She recalls her evidence to the coroner.
No. There has never been any incident of that kind before. Yes, I have other men friends, I suppose. I beg your pardon, yes, I do have other men friends. Might have been someone trying to pick a quarrel with him. We met, September, 1940. Yes. We saw one another frequently. 2 years and 2 months. Yes, I have always kept some drink in my flat. One needs it. No. Not heavily, never heavily. we were talking about the war. He'd been off the active service list since he was wounded, Dunkirk. I made every effort to stop him. Am I to take it? You want to know whether I think he went out on the roof with the intention of taking his own life? I'm sorry. I thought that's what you did mean. I don't know what his intentions were. He may have hoped to find a fire escape down the back of one of the houses. When he'd gone, I remained in the flat. No? I hadn't heard anything. I simply thought I would go downstairs and look out of the door. I don't know why. No. I don't know how long after. I didn't look at the clock. I went downstairs. I opened the door. And I saw that he'd fallen.
Exterior. London Street, 8 p.m. 15 months later. Harrison standing in street looking up at block of flats in Victoria. He enters. Harrison goes towards the lift, gets in. The lift doors close. Harrison rings the bell. Stella opens the door.
Is this convenient?
Where have you been? Come in.
I was just sitting, listening to the guns.
Yes, it's been quite a time since we met. I see you've got a cat.
No. It belongs to next door. They're not there. It's nervous.
It's a dirty night. Animals don't care for this sort of thing.
How did you know where to find me?
Oh, I heard you'd moved.
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been out of the country most of the time.
You didn't lose your job, then?
What, over that affair, you mean? No. I didn't lose my job.
She moves around the room, looking for the cat. His eyes follow her. She finds the cat, picks it up. She strokes it, her hand trembling.
It's so long since we heard anything like this. I can't get used to it.
You shouldn't be up here with all this heavy stuff. You should be in a shelter. You should be down in a shelter.
Oh.
You're not sorry I came, anyway. Bit of company.
Wish you'd come before. A long time ago. There was a time I had so much to say to you. I went on talking to you in my mind. So I clearly didn't think you were dead, because you don't talk to the dead, you just listen to what they said over and over and over again and try to piece it together. I missed you. Your dropping out left me with absolutely nothing. Why did you do it?
I was switched. That was the long and the short of it. I was switched.
But when? What happened? After all, you killed Robert.
Now, how do you make that out?
Oh, you killed him. Why did you send me away that night? That night in the cafe?
It wasn't going to work out.
But if you hadn't gone away, if you hadn't disappeared, who knows? But now we can say goodbye, can't we? We're not what we were. We're no longer two of three. We're apart.
Goodbye?
Yes. We had to meet again to say goodbye. Don't you understand? Harrison.
That's the first time you've ever called me anything.
I don't know your Christian name.
You wouldn't care for it.
Why? What is it?
Robert.
Listen. I think it's over. Don't you? I think the raid's over.
I'll stay till the all clear.
In The Heat of the Day, the screenwriter was played by Henry Goodman. Stella, Anna Chancellor. Harrison, Matthew Marsh. Robert, Tom Goodman Hill. And Louis, Teresa Gallagher. Roderick was Daniel Wayman, Ernestine Honeysuckle Weeks, Mrs. Kelway, Tina Gray, and Donovan, Nigel Anthony. Other parts were played by members of the company. The Heat of the Day by Elizabeth Bowen was adapted for radio by Tristram Powell and Honor Borick from the screenplay by Harold Pinter. It was directed by Tristram Powell and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.
And that was the concluding part of our classic serial, part of Books on the BBC. After the news, Ian Banks meets James Naughtie and readers at the National Library of Scotland in Edinburgh to talk about his debut novel, The Wasp Factory, first published in 1984. This shocking book is an insight into the life of 16-year-old Frank, a brutal and disturbed teenager who enjoys killing animals and insects all too much. But Frank isn't alone in his madness. His brother Eric has just escaped from an asylum and is gradually making his way back home to the remote island house Frank shares with his father Angus. Book Club is in a couple of minutes.
On BBC Four and BBC Radio 3, Symphony. From Mozart and Haydn to Stravinsky and Shostakovich. To complement the new BBC Four series, BBC Radio 3 presents a month of performances, programmes and downloads exploring a giant musical genre and how it was shaped by the world around it. You can hear complete performances of every symphony featured in the BBC Four series in Radio 3's Afternoon on 3, weekday afternoons from 2 o'clock.